Hey guys, it's Chris here. Wanted to let you know that today's episode is powered by mybookie.ag. You go on over to mybookie.ag and put in the promo code TARPSOFFSEASON. That's S-Z-N or S-Z-N if you're in Canada, but it's not about the Z's. It's all about the cheese. We will give you a 100% deposit bonus on every dollar you deposit up to $1,000. You put in 20, you'll get 40. You put in 40, you'll get 80. You put in $69, you'll get $138. You don't just have to bet hockey. You can bet the NFL, MLB, NBA, presidential election, hot dog eating contests, you name it. You can bet it. And we're going to give you a 100% deposit bonus at mybookie.ag when you hit tarps off season, S-Z-N. That's tarps off season, S-Z-N. Now let's get to the episode.
This is Jerome McGinley, and you're listening to Get the Puck Out.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing?
Come on,
you good?
Come on. I know you like
yeah,
that.
Bang, what's going on, guys? We are back with another episode of Get the Puck Out. I am your host, Chris Mancuso, joined today by Jack Gotzel. Jack, what the fuck is going on, man? Between you and Dean Blundell, I don't know who's causing more shit on the internet these days, but what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Yeah, some hot Patrick Kane takes. Got some people sliding into my comments. They weren't too pleased with those, and a couple DMs.
Yeah, no, you were getting hatred all over the map. I saw like people that I hardly even knew talking about it on Twitter. Your Patrick Kane is no good take for Team USA. He's an embarrassing player. You know, the stats kind of work in your favor when it comes to the big stuff, the junior stuff. And like, I'm with you though. I don't value the IIHF World Championship or whatever the fuck. Like, I don't put any stock in that. It's just all the guys that aren't in the playoffs right now playing. That's not really indicative of anything.
Yeah, in World Juniors, you're trying to get drafted into the NHL. It's when you're not getting paid for these Olympics, he just doesn't seem to show up. He doesn't seem to care. And it's not just that, like, the puck's not going in for him. It doesn't look like he's giving any effort out there.
Yeah,
I just don't think he'd be a player that makes Team USA.
And listen, I don't think what you said was that egregious, especially when it comes to if he's a role model for kids. I mean, Patrick Kane came into the league so young, got money so young. It's easy to fuck up. I don't know if he's necessarily like a bad guy now, but certainly has had a questionable decision-making at best. But I mean, you would have thought you stabbed some of these people's mother. Like, you are getting people right upset. And then like, it brings me to a story you wrote too about something to do with the Buffalo Sabres. And I want to tie into what happened.
Jack Eichel.
Yeah, what happened? Like, should they just trade him now before he gets unhappy? This was before the Taylor Hall stuff. But, like, we're going to talk about what happened today and in the hockey world. Dean Blundell, I used to work for the guy, so I can talk about this firsthand. I know Dean as a guy behind the scenes, and Dean the guy who he is now and who he was before are certainly different when it comes to his personal life. But Dean definitely still is inclined to cross the line and use some shock material. I mean, that was what he was big on, Jack. I'm not sure if you would even know too much. I'm sure you saw it going around the internet today. What happened was, is an Athletic reporter wrote a story, and in it she had talked about, or a tweet or something where she had talked about, put out DMs from somebody. I'm just pulling up the article here so we have it. I want to make sure that we get this correctly, because at first I didn't think Dean was that off base, and we'll get right into the logistics of it. I'm just trying to pull it up. It was huge news though. Like, it was trending. It's still trending right now in Ontario. So like, everybody's really coming to the defense, of this girl. And, here we are. So the title is, where are we at with hockey reporters faking gender discrimination? Now, Haley Salvian, I believe that's how you say it, of The Athletic, said that Brown fills a right hole on the right D. She says he won a Memorial Cup with the Oshawa Generals and DJ Smith. It makes sense for him to be there. And a fan wrote to her and he said, and don't get me started on your terrible questions when you have a say during Pierre Dorion's interviews. Fans want to know how Quinn can fit into Ottawa. You really think we want Jack Quinn with our fifth overall pick? The kid is not a top five pick, let alone top 10. Why would you even bring that up? That's what he was saying to her. So now she came out and said, what it's like being a female in hockey, you ask? It's pretty cool. Oh, and the DMs are now closed. So she's saying that he told her that the take on Jack Quinn was said to her because she's female. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that either. Am I wrong for thinking that? Am I missing something here? I mean, I have seen it and it is real. And there are guys who do just come after female reporters because they're female and they come forward with like a bunch of sexist derogatory bullshit. Like I've seen it, it exists. But I think what Dean is trying to say here is where are we at the line when it's like, that's just him criticizing her job to me. And that isn't being a woman in hockey. Like that's being anybody. Jack, you had people from the Buffalo Sabres fan base like want to kill you. And they called you an inbred and a guy said he would fuck your mother. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I had some pretty terrible stuff said to me, a lot worse than what she had here. I don't think there was anything sexist in what this guy said to her at all. And I think it takes away from like the comments because we both see it. We've seen what happens to some female reporters in the industry.
Yeah.
They actually do get sexist like remarks.
Yeah, but when everybody starts using it as a crutch, I had this happen to me. I had this happen to me. I can fucking speak on this gladly and I'm going to speak on it gladly right now because first off, anybody who's been listening to Get the Puck Out through the ages knows that Nikki Giordano, who owns an all-female sports publication site, we support the fuck out of her stuff. Her and I are homies. We talk. We're cool. You know what I mean? Like I'm cool with lots of females in the industry. But what had happened was a writer from Boston, I believe, always with you fucking people, Marissa Ingrami, her name is. And what had happened was she had put out some tweet saying that like the delay on the ice isn't for the swear words, it's for the racial slurs or the slurs. Whatever she said, she implied that hockey players are using slurs all the time on the ice, which like I don't think is the case anymore. The NHL has pretty broad punishments for stuff like that. And it was just like, you know what? That's a girl who always is being like, hey, you should hire me to cover hockey because I don't have my job anymore and you should hire me. But she never has anything positive to say. And there's a ton of guys that I feel attack hockey that way too. And I call them out as well. And what happened was instead of her trying to defend her position on it, she said, a lot of you people podcast with this guy and you say you want to be friends of women in the industry, but you podcast with this guy. Essentially just decided to take the role of a fucking victim because she's a fucking crybaby and a loser. Like, I'm sorry. I know a lot of our listeners and that are friends with her. I know people like her in Boston and aren't going to like that I said that. I said what I said and I stick to it every time because she threw this fucking label at me. And now, and we're going to talk about how I was at Bruins Diehards before. And when I was there, I interviewed Boston Pride general manager, Carolyn Pilch, such a nice girl. A, smart as hell about hockey. The NWHL is a fucking awesome league. When the pro women were pissed about that league going on, I defended that league and said, this league can become where you guys get paid fairly. Give it time. They got a great deal with Twitch. I was watching Boston Pride games. I was into it. Like, and I still am. I still am into it. I like the NWHL. I think it's a great league. I've had fucking Jillian Dempsey on the podcast. A couple other, another girl from the Boston Pride as well. So, The simps and the fucking white girls that have become oppressed these days, which is a whole other topic, not for this show, decided to latch on to what Ingrami said. And one girl called me like a misogynist. And I went on the likes and I saw Court Lalonde and Nick Godin of Bruins Diehards, who run the show there, liked this tweet, which is interesting because they have the Pride Diehards, which I introduced them to the Pride. I was covering the Pride first. Anybody that knows me, and that's why the people from the Pride and those people haven't unfollowed me over anything I've ever said, because they know that I'm the type of guy who just calls it like it is. I don't take a side, whether you're a man or a woman. I don't fucking care. I saw some guy going at Blundell today saying, oh, you don't know anything about Haley. She's fucking, she's smart and beautiful. It's like, buddy, what the fuck does beautiful have to do with anything? Like, so you bring out these simp idiots, and bro, that's why everybody always asks me, like, why do you go so nuclear at the Bruins diehards? It's like, it's because of that. Rather than take a fucking position and have a pair of balls between their legs, those two fucking soy boys, what they decided to do was just like a tweet and go along with it, full knowing that they have this partnership because I brought that all together, because I took an interest in the fucking league and still have a huge interest in it, and I want it to do fucking well, and I'm happy to see that Toronto has a franchise where I'm close and plan on going to a game. Like these people are so fucking sick in the head to jump. And that's why I think Dean was saying in his post, like, are we getting to a point where it's getting dangerous to where you can't even criticize one of these girls anymore? And I'm sorry, but it feels like it's coming close to that.
Yeah, I mean, that the guy that she posted the DMs of, he never said anything sexist in there at all. He disagreed with her hockey take. And honestly,
and he was being an asshole, but we all yeah. get that. Everybody, you don't put your content into the public forum. Like, once you put it on Twitter, it's in the public court of opinion, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And people are going to, you need thick skin to do this, because it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. People are going to come at you on your take no matter what it is, because everybody has different
opinions. People who like you are going to come at you on your take sometimes. Like, you know firsthand, I have never seen anybody in my time get treated as bad as you got treated by fans for a couple of your takes this offseason. Like, I've seen it firsthand with you. That's why I was excited to get you on and talk about this. And it's like, but you know what? If you're Blundell, I like Dean as a guy personally, but like, I consider him and I friends. Like, you know, I like the guy. He's a really nice guy. One thing I'll say, he always treated his he treated his people at DeanBlundell.com fairly. Sometimes with people, they had their own individual grievances or whatever. But for me personally, I was always treated really well and was able to write whatever the fuck I wanted to write and say whatever I wanted to say. And it didn't matter whether he agreed with it or not. The guy sometimes, I think, has to pick a lane here, because sometimes you see him and he's like putting people in check. And then other times they're like, because he does his podcast on everything and I respect his views on everything. He's not a stupid guy. He's an intellectual guy, actually. But he'll just, you know, just rip the right. Like, if you believe in any sort of conservatism or political right-leaning, especially in the United States of America, he'll like clown you too. So it's like, when you write these anti-women being victim pieces in sports journalism, like, the people who are usually going to be there to bat for you, you've also kind of offended with those political tweets. So sometimes I think he'd be better served to pick a lane, but he does things the way that he wants to do them. And that's just my personal opinion, and opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. I personally saw her tweet and thought to myself, oh my God, like, that's a bit much, because I don't think the guy went there. You know, I'm not a woman either. And now that's the other side of it that I understand. I really don't know what it's like because I'm not a woman, but certainly it's starting to look like with some girls, it's becoming a crutch. And I'll defend that, and I'll talk about it to people who disagree with me. I invite them on the show for a civil conversation about it, but that's just how I feel. I feel like it's now going to become a way where you can't even criticize a white female, but, like, you know, you can get told that your mother's going to be fucked. And you've had people ask for Chris's other writer at our blog, Chris's address before, being yeah. like, where can I go to this guy's house and beat the fuck out of him? Like, this happens, man. This fucking world is savage out there. Like, if you're not ready to get into the fucking, If you're getting into the tiger cage, you better have a fucking thick skin and know how to clap back when you have to. And I think that we're getting a little too dependent on putting it out there as an anti-woman thing and waiting for a bunch of blue checkmark guys to come and have your back. It's getting tiresome to me. Let's have the conversation. Like, that's where I'm at with it. Let's talk it out. Like, I could be completely wrong on this. This is just how I'm perceiving it from where I'm sitting. Is like, it is a worrisome issue. It's like, it's not always that. I feel like that's what we saw with Mike Milbury saying the distraction of girls in the playoffs. Like, give me a break. He meant the guys are dogs. They are. Have you ever met hockey guys? Jesus Christ. They're trying to get done. They're like 23, 24 years old. Dude, what did you do when you were 23, 24? You swipe Tinder and try to get done. That's like a fucking cultural issue, not a hockey guy issue.
Yeah, and they're going to the bars in between games. Like,
of course, bro, it's mayhem. Yeah. That's what he's talking about. Like, there's mayhem that drives coaches crazy during the season that these people have no fucking clue about. Like, look, I know it's a different sport, but even I'm going to relate this to it because I think everybody watched it. What was that fucking Bulls documentary? What was that called again?
Oh, the Michael Jordan one. The Last Chapter.
The Last Dance. The Last
Dance. The Last Dance, yeah.
And, dude, like, Dennis Rodman would be like, Coach, I got to go on vacation to Vegas. I got to go do a bunch of blow and fuck strippers. Like, that shit happens, bro. Like, these guys aren't all saints. Like, that's what Milbury was alluding to. But because he said women and distracting, finished. Done. I don't know if anybody saw Saturday Night Live this weekend with Bill Burr. It was fucking awesome. And he pointed it out perfectly. Somehow Caucasian females have jumped right to the front of the line of the oppressed. And it's like, take it easy. You need to sit and take your talking to like the rest of us do here, man. Because fucking Jesus Christ, everybody's fucking so emotionally charged. And it's like, you know, all they did too is make Dean's website have a great day. Somewhere advertisers are laughing. Like, he just got the, you know, his page is probably at over 1 million views today.
Yeah, more than likely.
No, it is. It is for sure. I know for a fact that it is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. I hope I'm not off base with how I feel. And certainly if anybody thinks that, I encourage you before you end up just rage blocking me.
Yeah, I mean, we know it happens. We just don't think that this instance
isn't that. And like, it's like, man, I'm not an enemy to anybody. I've been a friend of these people longer than anybody in this fucking podcast game. That's why with the Marissa and Grammy thing, I wanted to put it out there because it was such bullshit. It was such a gaslighting fucking garbage move by her. And she's a fucking piece of garbage for it. And anybody who likes her and listens to this podcast, if you don't like it, don't fucking listen to this podcast because I'll always say that about that girl. I have no respect for that girl at all for what she did because I criticized her. Like, that's what I mean. So I've lived it firsthand. So that's why I think I'm a little bit more inclined to be like, I see where Dean's coming from. But I also get that we're not females and we don't deal with the onslaught all the time. And, you know, but like at the same time, nobody comes and defends me all the fucking time either. Like, I don't have any knight in shining armors or white knights coming to fucking protect me or Jack when people from Buffalo threaten to kill Jack's family.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't know, man. I'm just so tired of all the fucking bullshit. So let's move it from that. I just wanted to talk about it because hockey Twitter was on fire today.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, you guys were getting it down there. So it tells you what kind of impact it has, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every single blue check mark came in and defended, and I get that because it does happen, but you gotta actually read the DMs.
You know what, that's a good point that you said that, because I should clear this up because I probably sound like a fucking asshole, and I'm not trying to. God, there are sexist assholes out there, and they should be hung by their necks. Believe me, I don't fucking believe anybody should be degrading anybody because of their fucking gender, because of their race, religion, sexual preference. That's all fucking garbage. If you think like that, you're a fucking caveman. Stop. Like, you know, we get it. It's just this instance ain't it. And we need to draw a line before it's like, what now? You just can't be criticized. That's the point where I'm at. Take it at what it is. Take it to the bank. Don't listen to it at all. Do whatever you want. But speaking of doing anything you want, it seems like the Vegas Golden Knights, Jack, can do whatever the fuck they want when it comes to acquiring top-end talent in the NHL. They showed that when they acquired Mark Stone. And then they flex out that big Vegas Golden Knight Sin City cock and shake it right at the rest of the NHL and sign Alex Pietrangelo to a 7-year, $8.7 million a season contract. Take us through that, Jack. How do you feel about it?
All right. So if Vegas wants to win now, they're doing everything right. But what are the long-term effects of this going to be? What is this going to be down the road when the next unrestricted free agency hits and a player thinks, well, if I sign in Vegas, do they just trade me in a year or two?
Mm-hmm. Like and if the locker something room better apparently comes was along? Getting annoyed. The locker room was getting annoyed.
I'm sure they are. And Pietrangelo, is he going to hold up for 7 seasons? That could be an ugly contract.
It could be. He's 30, going to be 31 when the season starts, 38 years old. You see what Zdeno Chara did in Boston. You see what Nicholas Lindstrom was able to do in his time. But, like, look at Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook now.
Yeah.
They look horrid. So, like, you never know what you're going to end up with. I like to think it's not going to be that bad, especially if we can curb this coronavirus shit in the next year or whatever and get some fans back in the arenas and get the cap going up and stuff like that again. But if not, and if injuries become a problem, then yeah, it's a huge mistake because there's no question it already has shooken the locker room a little bit, rubbed the locker room a little bit of the wrong way, especially when a guy like Nate Schmidt ends up getting dealt out and he gets sent to the Vancouver Canucks for a third round pick in what, 2022?
Yeah.
Nate Schmidt was a big locker room guy, man. That's tough to just bring in Mr. Big Time back there. I mean, they don't have a captain. Are they going to give him the C as well?
I doubt they'll give him the C in his first year there. I mean, I've seen crazier shit happen.
Well, Chara got it his first year in Boston.
Yeah, that's a little different, though. But, I mean, he's not a first pair defenseman like Chara.
Yeah, he's going into
like
a much better he is. I think Alex Pietrangelo is a first pair defenseman.
Sorry. I thought we were talking about Schmidt. Pietrangelo, I still don't see him getting the C. I think, actually, that's a tough one. You're asking me a tough question here.
Yeah, no. Sorry, I didn't mean Schmidt getting the C. I meant
I don't know about that.
In but Vegas. I mean, they rolled everything out, including the red carpet for him.
And their young team.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. They could use it, but also, like when you said Chara going in was different. Yeah, in the sense, like Boston was a worse team, right? Like
Boston was a much worse team.
They were in a bad, bad spot.
They missed the playoffs, Chara's first year.
Vegas is like, yeah, exactly. Where Vegas is fucking contending for a cup here. I don't know. All I know is that the St. Louis Blues made their move quick time when they knew that there was some bullshit going on. We did a Get the Puck Out Live on Sportscaster, you and I with Doug McLean, and he had brought up that some people in St. Louis were really pissed off about the way that this all happened and all
tampering.
All of a sudden, Pietrangelo didn't want to come back at 8x8 when that was always the number he was looking for from them. And you know, there's a lot of things that don't add up there, but guess what? As soon as he decided he was going to hop on that plane and go to Vegas, Doug Armstrong, wasted no time and fucking signed Torrey Krug from the Boston Bruins. I know you're not a huge fan of him, but as far as if you're gonna lose a guy off of your defenseman, off of your defense corps, and it's Alex Pietrangelo, you know, to bring in Torrey Krug, like that money on Krug in this climate, in this day and age, a guy who's had the third most points for a defenseman, I think since he's come into the fucking league, it is a good contract. It isn't even bad. Like, he's not great defensively. He's not going to be a great defensive masterpiece for them. They're going to have to put him with Colton Parayko probably. It'll probably put a little bit of strain on Parayko's game. But what they're going to get is the best power play quarterback in the NHL. And certainly the thing that I liked was the message that they weren't going to be pushed around. They weren't going to be made to wait for Alex Pietrangelo. I think I like that more than I even like the signing. I think I liked how fast they were quick to be like, you guys have had this planned all along and go fuck yourself. Like,
yeah. And they do end up with Krug. I think it's a downgrade from Pietrangelo.
Oh, it sure is. But I mean, if you're going to lose Pietrangelo and you don't have to give up an asset to get Krug. It's not that bad.
Yeah, and they're going to have more cap space in the future than if they had just ended up with Petrangelo. Then you risk having to move somebody. What about Vince Dunn? He's still a restricted free agent.
And yeah, what's going to happen with Vince Dunn? They got a lot of moves to still make there in St. Louis. The Tampa Bay Lightning have moves to make. Tyler Johnson not really doing them too many favors. He knows that if he stays in Tampa, he'll just be exposed and end up in Seattle, right? Like, that's what he ultimately wants.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go anywhere that's going to keep him. He's from Seattle. You don't think he wants to be on the first NHL team from his home fucking city? Buddy, I'd be chomping at the bit to do that if I
Oh, yeah. I don't blame him.
And I don't blame him, not even for half a second. I don't blame him. So, you know what? We'll see what happens. Taylor Hall was a very, very surprising one.
Buffalo.
The Buffalo Sabres on a one-year, $8 million deal. Had some long-term offers, had some short-term offers. All of them, none of them, on the long-term offers and the middle-term three-year deals were over a $6 million average. This is a tough free agency period. One team I got to give credit for before we go, I think the Montreal Canadiens have navigated the offseason pretty well. They acquired Josh Anderson, lock him up long-term, and then they get Tyler Toffoli on a four-year, $4.25 million a year deal.
Don't forget Edmondson.
Yeah, Joel Edmondson they already grabbed too. Jake Allen, who they just extended today for 2 years after this season. A tandem of Price and Allen. Price finally won't have to play 60, 70 games. He can play 40 games, 45 games, 50 games. Like, that's it. Like, he doesn't have to play 60, 70 games a year. That's massive. And Jake Allen had a .935 save percentage and a 1.89 goals against average in the playoffs.
I mean,
he had a good year last year too. Allen is a good goalie. The Canadians fucking holy, they shot up for a team that was like, you know, at the trade deadline last year, selling off everyone they can. And then Suzuki and Kokkonen step forward, and all of a sudden they add two wingers and a couple fucking good pieces, a good piece on their back end, and you're looking at the Canadians in a whole different light.
Has anybody been better this offseason than first of all, the Montreal Canadiens? They're my number one this offseason, and then Vegas right behind them by adding Petrangelo.
Yeah, man. No, it's – I mean, fuck. It's crazy. And you know what? I think the Toronto Maple Leafs are a better team today than they were in the bubble, adding Wayne Simmonds, adding they added Jimmy Vesey for nothing. He's a guy who, like, you know, what if you have to stick him if someone gets hurt on Matthews' line one night? Like, put your stick on the ice, you're going to get points, right? Zach Bogosian was great in the playoffs for Tampa after looking like his career was dead. I mean, coming out of Buffalo, he looked dead. He gave them some good minutes, Tampa Bay, including walking Torrey Krug in the playoffs like a dog.
Like a good dog in the park.
Like a good dog in the park, exactly. What else went down? We had Gustafson went to the Flyers because Niskanen retired. That was a pretty good deal. Tyson Barrie went to the Edmonton Oilers from the Toronto Maple Leafs. He signs a one-year deal there. Guys that are still available, Mike Hoffman and Dadonov, look to be the top forwards available. The Predators, Bruins, Blue Jackets – they're all kind of circulating around.
I wouldn't sweep on Duclair either.
No, Duclair had 20-something goals last year, and they didn't even qualify him. I don't understand that. But
well, that's because Duclair tried to be his own agent, and he asked for too much money, and he messed it all up.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know what had happened, but certainly at the right dollar figure, Duclair would be a great grab for a team. You know, the Bruins grab Craig Smith, good third line add for Charlie Coyle. I think that puts Anders Bjork's spot in question. I think you could still see some movement on him. I know Edmonton had expressed interest in him earlier in the offseason.
Yeah, but for Chiasson.
Yeah, which we don't even need that. Just take him for nothing. Like, take him for a fucking draft pick.
Well, Bjork's on a really good contract, so I wouldn't sell low on him. I like his team-friendly deal he's on.
I don't see a spot for him now, especially if they add another forward. Like, where's his spot?
That's not the guy I don't see a spot for. The guy I don't see a spot for is Andre Kasha.
Well, Andre Kasha is one as well, but I think what the term they have in him, I don't know. I feel like
isn't he a restricted free agent next year?
Yeah, he's an RFA, so they have full team control. It depends what he does. We'll see how he does with Krejci. I mean, he looked serviceable for them in the playoffs at times.
Or it could be tempting to move him for Palmieri.
Well, who knows, right? You never know. There could be some movement there. I think you're still going to see a lot of trade movement go down. But the offseason is a buyer's market right now. The money's drying up. We'll see what happens the rest of the way. For all the free agent news and up-to-the-minute stuff, go to tarpsoffhockey.net. Thanks for listening today, Jack. Let them know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack Gotzel. You can find me at blackandgoldhockey.com. You can find me on tarpsoffhockey.net and Bruins Talk Jacked Up for those Bruins fans is my podcast.
Beautiful, buddy. And I'm Chris Mancuso. Everybody, have a good fucking hump day.